Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. My name is Rebecca Whitman, and I'm a success mentor. I believe there are seven pillars of success: your spiritual life, your physical fitness, your emotional, romantic, mental, social, and finally, your financial life. When you get all seven areas in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I learned this the hard way. I've always made money. Unfortunately, I spent so much time making money that I never had time for the rest of my life. So, despite not having financial worries, I was never happy. I wanted romance, but I didn't have time to date. I wanted to be in great shape, but I couldn't find a moment to go to the gym. I wanted a more spiritual life, but I didn't meditate. That also takes time. I wanted to read great books and fill my mind with deep thoughts, but I never made the time. I wanted a great social life, not just going to work-related events. Emotionally, I was a wreck because my life was totally out of balance. Today, I earn more money than I ever have in my life, and I work only part-time. I have the relationship of my dreams. I'm in the best physical shape of my life. I'm spiritually grounded. I feel fulfilled mentally, socially, and emotionally. My life is in perfect alignment. This podcast will help you discover where your life is out of balance. My mission is to support you in achieving work-life balance so that you can have more fun and freedom in life. On my show, you will get to learn from experts in all seven areas of abundance. My guests have achieved tremendous success in their zone of genius. Are you ready to go to a level 10 in all seven areas of life? You got this.
Yes, Neely. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant Show.
Hey, how you doing? I'm excited to be on. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to have you on the show. Let me tell my audience why I'm so excited to have you on the show. Jessie Lee is a heart-driven, culture-driven superstar businesswoman. She's in the Network Marketing Hall of Fame for being a verified seven-figure money earner. She's a number one money earner in her network marketing company, Prove It, a company that's known for ketones that you can drink. She graduated, she created her own unique team culture within her company called The Empire. And within 10 months of joining the company, she became the number one money earner and $1 million money earner. She now has a team all over the world, and she speaks on stages all over the world. And that's how I met Jessie Lee. I saw her speak in a virtual international conference called GoPro, and I was just amazed by her raw authenticity. And one of my missions as a coach is to inspire women to be unapologetically authentic. So she's just like the number one example of this. So I'm so excited to have you on the show. Let's get right into it because I know you have a very busy schedule today. So you grew up in a basement, or you didn't grow up in a basement. When you found network marketing, you were living in a basement, or when you found direct sales and your rent was $300 a month. Let's talk about your growing up. How has growing up in poverty driven you to achieve so much success in network marketing?
Yeah. So, I gotta tell you, I think that if you have the perspective that everything in life is bad that is happening to you is damaging to you, then your life will reflect that. But if you decide that all the bad stuff is happening to you, which, by the way, I'll stop for a second to say that's valid. The bad stuff is valid. The trauma is valid. The things that should have never happened to you that happened to you and it has messed with your head, those are valid things. But I'm saying how you choose to view them is where the blessings come into play. And so all of the bad, you know, I've used the word bad lightly at this point in my life. The bad things that happened to me in my life have all set me up for greater successes. And so growing up as somebody who didn't have all the stuff all the kids had, or, you know, growing up as somebody who, you know, the clothes didn't fit, or I got made fun of, or I was bullied, or, you know, was sitting alone at all the lunches, or wouldn't let people in, was really hard personality because, you know, there were kids that had stuff and then there was me and I didn't, and it made me uncomfortable, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things, I look at how I am in network marketing now, and not even just network marketing, business in general, because I have a lot of businesses. It set me up for huge success. Like, a lot of people are so scared of the word no. I know you know this, Rebecca, right? Like, people are told no 5 times and you would think that they were basically shot at, right? People are told, oh, not right now. Oh, I don't know if that's for me. And people mentally shut down. They physically shut down. They literally go out of business. And it's like, because somebody told you no? I was told no constantly. I could not convince my mom to get me ice cream from the ice cream truck. I couldn't beg her to take me shopping at the store. It was always a hard no. And so I stopped going to the same people over and over again. I stopped going to my mom for the same thing over and over again. I started, you know, being resourceful in other aspects. And so taking that then into the business world, like, no's don't scare me. No, you don't like me. Okay. You're making fun of me. Cool. That was my whole childhood. I'm not bothered by it anymore. You know, like, you want to bash me or make me try to sit alone or whatever. Like, okay. I'm aware of how to find my people now. And so, I think when people grow up with a rough childhood, like I did and so many others, you know, it's not unique. You go one of two ways. You either go super far down the negative, toxic, life is terrible, you know, and I'm just going to keep on perpetuating these bad things in my life rabbit hole, or you fly, you know, because everything that happened to me, I just kind of look at it like it's rocket fuel. I'm like, oh, okay, well, all that happened. Now I learned. So you can choose to learn. There's lessons in everything. And that's what I chose to do. Yeah.
That is so beautiful. Well, you've definitely flown. So you speak on stages all over the world as a trainer in network marketing. What makes your training different from all the other trainers in network marketing?
Oh, just the best. Okay. That's funny. Now, okay. So I teach on stages around the world that are also not network marketing based, which is really cool.
All stages.
Yeah. Like I have a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with network marketing. Network marketing is absolutely my largest source of income. I think it is the most appreciated profession in the world. So if you're listening to this and you're considering a network marketing opportunity, I would say, yeah. Okay. What makes me different? Couple things. First of all, I'm not like anyone else. So if you watch me train, if you watch me coach, before we started recording, we had a little bit of a conversation and you were like, you are contagious. Like, you're so addictive. I'm like, yeah, I know. Right. Like, I have this energy about me and it's, you can't fake it. You know, you can't fake good intentions, because people are so people are like, I'm an empath, I'm intuitive. I'm like, everybody has intuition. Everybody does. It's not a new thing. People just never talked about it before, right? Like, I'm like, good. So you can tell when there's good and there's evil, good, right? But I'm me, and I've never tried to go on stage and be, you know, the sweet little docile whatever. And I have my sweet moments. I cry on stage. I do whatever. But my energy is just very different, I think, than a lot of people. I'm funny, you know, like, I throw comedy in there. And I also think that I have a very unique story, in the sense of I've had 3 businesses I've built from nothing to multi-millions annually, 3 separate businesses. And so from the perspective of nothing was handed to me, not to say, this is not to trigger anybody when I say that, right? But I literally did it without any help, so to speak, 3 times. So when I talk, people go, no, like, she knows what she's talking about. That girl is like top recruiter in the world in all network marketing. That girl is a sales monster. That girl is developing leaders so freaking fast. She's the culture queen. I'm just going to listen. And so I know, like, people that don't even like me watch me. I'm like, you should. If you don't like me, I would still watch me, and I would take notes, and then I would repurpose it and try to make it my own, because it's good stuff. It's good stuff. But I would say it's mostly, I'm me. I'm not trying to copy anyone else. I'm not trying to do your trainings. I'm not trying to do anybody else's trainings. I'm not trying to, just trying to be Jessie Lee. And that makes it easy for me, fun for me. I don't want to say effortless, but pretty effortless and carefree. And then it's something that I really enjoy, you know? So I think that makes me stand out. Yeah.
So you talk about people not liking you and they want to listen to you anyway. So did you ever were your feelings ever hurt if anybody like talked shit about you or didn't like you?
My feelings were hurt this week. I actually asked my friends, I was like, I said, I'm not like, I don't know all the planet stuff, but I literally texted some friends of mine today and I said, are there like things out of alignment? Like, are those retrograde things right now? People are being really mean this week. And one of them was like, yes, I actually asked so-and-so because, you know, someone who knows all the planet, whatever. She's like, she said Mercury's out of whatever the thing is, right? I'm like, I knew it. you know, here's the thing is that I think people forget sometimes that even if you're doing it behind the internet, these are humans.
Yeah.
And the only way to completely avoid the hate would be to not look at it at all. And meaning like if I was Beyonce and I never actually have logged into Instagram, you know, like I have somebody managing it, but this is me. So like if you're live with me and you're bashing me and I see it, like I don't go down the rabbit hole like a lot of people do where I'm like, oh, it's true. I look like a man. Oh, it's true. I'm so loud and stupid. Oh, it's true. I should shut up. Like, no, because I'm never going to shut up. Okay. And I have a lot of self appreciation. I don't know about like self-love, I think is like a whole other topic right now, but I really appreciate who I am, where I've come from. So nobody's going to make me like feel any type of way about it. But when you're live and it's like, you know, I go live most of the time to over 1,000 people on all three platforms, you know, like it's busy. And it's like, you're getting hammered by people sometimes. You're kind of like, what is wrong with people? But I got really hammered on YouTube this week, which was my big thing. And I was like, these people, like for a minute, I was like, I didn't stop. I didn't cry. I didn't get upset. But I did have that minute of like, who raised these people? What is wrong with these people? Sorry, Godson. What is wrong with these people? Why are they so hateful? And then you just have to remind yourself that when people are being nasty about you, they're not talking about you. When people are hating on things you're doing, they're not talking about you. When people are, you know, tearing up your profession, they hate their profession. When people are saying your body this, your body that, your face this, your whatever. You know, you're a scam artist, you're whatever, like, what? Your full-time job is hating people on the internet and you think that's okay? We just have different morals. We have different sets of values and that's okay, but that is not my problem, that's yours. And I think that if more people would just focus on when somebody is saying a bunch of stuff about you, they're not actually talking about you and you choose to take the moral high ground, you'll have a lot more abundance and happiness, et cetera, come into your life for sure.
That is, I love that, Jesse Lee. They're talking about themselves. It's like the whole thing, when one finger's pointing at you, there's three pointing back.
Three pointing right back, girl. Tell them.
That's right. So that is amazing. So let's talk about hitting bottom, okay? So you talk about 2017, and you lost your, were you engaged, your romantic relationship?
Oh, girl, I lost everything. Let's just go down the list. I lost my okay, yeah, where do we start? That. Oh, okay. So 2017, first of all, my Nana died. That's the woman who raised me. And that is actually the only lasting horrible thing that happened of 2017. Everything else ended up fine, but,
that's so permanent, but everything else is fixed.
But also like she's here all the time. There's not a day that goes by. I don't feel her. There's not a day that doesn't go by. I don't still pray for her. You know, I feel her when I'm doing like all the time, you know, I smell her sometimes. It's the craziest thing. So I truly believe, you know, I've got angels. So that's okay. Even honestly speaking, it was her time, unfortunately. But that was the only permanent thing. Yeah. So I had gone through a divorce. I had been separated, divorced. It's Vic, by the way. So like, we're back together again. So like I said, it's not permanent. Everything's good. But like, we were together 5 years ago. And then 2017 all exploded, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, back together again. Perfect. Awesome. Happy. Give me babies. Get married, etc.
Again, you're going to get married again to the same guy.
No, different man. Totally different man.
Okay.
It's too long for the podcast. Too long for the podcast. I got betrayed by who I thought was my best friend, really lost nearly every close friendship of mine. For the same reason. And then I was terminated. I was making over $200,000 a month. I was terminated. And then I was getting sued by a master distributor of a company. I sued a company. I mean, it was crazy. Like, it was like, if a dumpster was on fire, it was like, well, here's her personal life, throw it in. Here's her professional life, throw it in. Here's her romantic life, throw it in. Here's her, like, it was like everything was falling apart. But I gotta tell you, I don't want to say like I took like a sabbatical from God, because that's not true. But when you feel like you're spiraling out of control and there's nowhere left to turn, and this is not like, I'm not going to tell anyone what to believe in, but I will tell you, your faith will get tested. You will get shoved towards a higher power because nothing makes sense. And so I was raised in the church, you know, like 5-6 days a week with Nana, like never stopped believing. But I was like, I hadn't been to church in a decade. You know, I hadn't opened a Bible and I couldn't tell you when, you know, like I was like a fair weather Christian, you know, I was going on Easter and Christmas, like, hey, here's my, you know, and it made me go, whoa, you have got to realize that there is more to life than what you're doing. A lot of stuff seems like it's out of control, but it's actually perfectly in control. It's happening exactly how it's supposed to. And as soon as I started having more faith towards my life actually has a plan and I'm not supposed to be the one that controls everything. I'm in such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful space in my life now. And everything has come back together exactly how it's supposed to. And I just, as much as 2017 was something that I would, honest to God, I mean, that's like just sugarcoating everything, honestly. I would be one of the worst enemies. I'm in a company where I'm wrecking in the whole industry. Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm on all the stages. I'm massive. You know, I'm a freaking household name. How did that happen? I don't know. Crazy. It wouldn't have happened if 2017 hadn't happened, though, because it created a new level of hunger in me. It created a new desire. It created a new level of what can you actually do? Like, you've done this, but where can you actually go? And I don't know if it would have happened if I hadn't. Okay, I needed to eat my humble pie. Let's say that first of all. Okay, I don't know if all of this goodness in my life would have happened if I had not had to eat some humble pie. It also taught me how to move back to just the intuition conversation in a second. We're all intuitive beings, but it taught me to listen more. It taught me to slow down. It taught me to get still. And then it taught me that I really, really, really can fly. So yeah, it actually ended up being huge, huge blessings. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. God got your attention.
I like that. God got my attention. Sister. Yes. Yeah. He was like, really? You want to be cocky? We throw it like, humble. That's okay. You're going to calm down, Jesse Lee. You're going to calm down. Yeah. That's what
you deepened your faith and you humbled out and then you just recreated and you recreated a new and better version of Jesse Lee. I love it. So I was doing my research on you, girlfriend, and I read somewhere in some article that you counsel couples. So is that true? And what, in your opinion, makes a successful romantic relationship?
I definitely don't counsel couples. So somebody's lying on the internet, but they do know a lot about me. I mean, the only kind of like couples counseling I can think of is like when I'm coaching our team members through stuff, for sure. But I can still answer that. I can still answer that question.
Yeah.
It's all the same. I mean, honestly speaking, relationships are relationships. So this is the same in a romantic relationship as it is in a personal relationship, as it is in a professional relationship. First of all, are you communicating? You know, most people never say what they actually think. And then somebody seems to just walk out or disappear. Well, think of the congruencies in your personal business and your, you know, nobody ever just gets up and leaves. Nobody ever just gets up and quits a business. They've been waiting for you to communicate properly and you're not, for God knows how long, or they're straight up underappreciated, or you're not communicating with them the way you should be, in the sense of like, what is their love language? You know, do they need to sit down with you? Do you need to hold their hand? Do you need to, you know, go fly somewhere and spend some quality time with them? Do you need to get them a gift of appreciation because whatever? Do you need to write them a card? All of this is the same in your business. I say this all the time. I'm like, if you don't like your relationships, ignore them. They'll go away. You don't like your husband? Ignore him. You don't like your wife? Ignore her. They will go away. It's only a matter of time. right? You don't like your team, keep cashing checks and not pouring into them.
Yep.
You think people are golden handcuffed. I'll tell you right now, when I was terminated in 2017, I haven't told this story ever until this week. So it's so funny that you're asked, you got my brain like in this spot, Rebecca, way to go, girl.
Let's hear it.
Oh my God. When I was terminated, I'll never forget. I'm terminated and I stayed really calm because I was like, uh-oh, this probably isn't a time that you start screaming. Right? I just stayed calm. And the lawyer that terminated me, she said, like, you could tell they were kind of spooked that I wasn't really, like, I was like, okay. And I stood up and she said, well, aren't you going to try to overturn it? Because I was making over 200 grand a month. And I went, no, I don't think so.
Wow.
And I walked out. So those of you that are not appreciating the relationships and the business partners you have in your life, keep on under appreciating them. If $200,000 a month didn't get me to stay, didn't get me to fight for that money, come on. You got to love your people. You got to love your people.
Yeah, it reminds me of How to Win Friends and Influence People. People will work for a living, but they'll die for recognition.
Yes. And whatever recognition is for them, right? Like, that's right. Different for all kinds of people. So knowing how people need to be loved is really important stuff.
And I know Brian, your current CEO, knows how to make you feel loved because you talk about him in all your podcasts.
Not all of them, but that's my dude. he speaks my love languages very well. You know, my main love language is receiving gifts, you know? So he buys me a lot of fancy stuff and, you know, whatever. I love it. And then, you know, I like, when it comes to business, access service is very important to me. So in my business, when I say I need A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, D, E, F, G gets done. You know, like, and I don't have to sit around and wait. I get responses when I need to, et cetera. So yeah, he's my dude. We're a good partnership for sure.
That is awesome. So one of the keys to your success is your work ethic. How do you handle overwhelm? How do you manage your time?
I love it. Did you go to Most Powerful Women?
Yes, I know that was a big theme, overwhelm.
Yeah, so I don't think you're gonna hear a very different response than what that person trained, because I don't subscribe to what she said. And one thing I'll say with personal development is, like, pick and choose what's for you. Can you let Wokeem, please? Pick and choose what's for you, okay? Like, and what I mean by that is when somebody gets on a stage and or gets on anything, a podcast, you're listening to this and you're like, I like that she said. I don't like that what she says. I like what she said there. I don't like that. Good. That's what you should do when you're personally developing. Everything shouldn't be, yes, that's the truth. So this stage, you know, there's nothing wrong with her. Maybe this works for some people, but this lady gets on stage and she's talking about, don't do overwhelm. And I about lost my mind because all the chats that I saw, because I could see everything, I was at the studio, were like, oh, thank God, she says not to do overwhelm. Thank God somebody's giving me permission to be lazy. I'm like, oh no. I do overwhelm and I love it. And don't hear that as some weird psycho thing, but like, because it sounded a little crazy. There is a reason I'm so successful, and it's because I'm obsessed. When I do something, I'm not 1 foot in and 1 foot out. I'm not 1 foot out and 1 foot on a banana peel. I'm not today feels convenient, tomorrow, I don't think so. I'm not, oh, no, I love it. I love working. I love doing calls. I love contributing. I love being the one who is burning the candle on both ends. Because then I get to, when I do take a vacation and I'm spending $20,000, I don't care. Oh, this close to burnout. Like, I get so totally engrossed in what I'm doing. I get that close to burning out. And then I go, whoo, Costa Rica. Okay. Like, I run. But I'll tell you what's overwhelming. Okay. Overwhelming to me is more like not being able to pay my bills when I couldn't pay my bills 10 years ago. Yeah. It was more overwhelming to me when people would say, do you want to go out? Let's go out to dinner or to drinks or to whatever, because I was 22 years old. And I'd say, I'd have to lie. And I'd say, no, that was overwhelming. It was overwhelming to pull up to a gas station and put $5 in you had to go inside and give them $5 because I could not swipe the credit card because the credit card would put the $50 hold on it and I didn't have $50. Yeah. That's overwhelming. That gave me anxiety. It doesn't give me anxiety to do what I love. It doesn't give me anxiety or panic or overwhelming feelings to show up for our team. This is the path that I chose. And so when people are like, oh, I don't do overwhelm. I'm going to go sit outside in my hammock again today. I'm going to go build sandcastles because I talked to 3 prospects and I am just burning myself out. No, you're not. You are not. You are literally not working and you're sitting over there. They're singing Kumbaya, thinking that you can refresh your Facebook Messenger list and a million-dollar future earner is sitting in your inbox. They're not. The future million-dollar earners are watching my stuff because they go, ha-ha, someone who can coach me. They're not watching you. So you don't want to do overwhelm. Your life will continue to be riddled with overwhelm if you do not have a work ethic. So you don't need to match mine because I know mine's a little aggressive. Whoever's watching this, I know people are watching it, right? Like, you don't have to do what I do, but I think we need to stop demonizing this overwhelm word. We need to stop with this, find the balance. I'm not the one. Like, you got the wrong girl on the podcast, Rebecca. I'm not looking for balance.
I think you can have the work ethic, but it's more of the perspective, because if you're like, oh my God, I got too many things to do. I got this call, I got that call. I need to get back to this person and that person. Like, I think it's more of a mindset overwhelm than being lazy. Like, oh my God, it's like getting stressed out about your day rather than just staying calm and executing it.
And then, it is be solution oriented. So if you're somebody who the problem is exactly what you just said, are you using a calendar? Or are you going into your day and the reason why you're overwhelmed is because you wake up to an alarm and then either way, and you look at your calendar and you're like, or there is no calendar and you go, I don't know, what do I do today? This is what most people do. I don't know, I'm an entrepreneur, what do I do today? Yes, I bet you are overwhelmed. I bet you're about to lose your mind because you're so stressed out because you don't know, you're out of control. I don't know if that's even overwhelmed then. You just don't feel like you're in control. So you want to be in control of your life, then control your calendar.
And I think it's too about delegation, because for myself, I get overwhelmed with all the technology of being an entrepreneur because I'm not a techie. So if I try to like figure out how to do an automation on MailChimp, for some people, they'll do it in 5 minutes. For me, it's like, oh, this is so hard because I don't think that way. So it's also about staying in your zone of genius. And I'm sure you delegate the heck out of all your tasks and you're in the empire.
Yeah, I mean, here's a little maybe assignment or something for anybody listening to this who feels a lot of overwhelm and that's not my zone of genius. I want you to go through your week this next week. So today's Friday. So from Friday to Friday, and I want you to write down and pay attention to all the things you're doing. And then I want you to ask yourself, did that have to be done by me?
Right.
And if the answer is no, and you're supposed to be, call it the big breadwinner of your family or whatever. Okay. Well, stop. Delegate. Get help. You know? So as an example, it's like, we're going to go down all the rabbit holes. I feel it, but I love it. This is a good conversation. Like when people like, okay, a lot of moms, I recruit a lot of moms, a lot of business partners that are moms. And they say stuff, you know, like, oh, I have to get the kids lunches together. I have to do all this stuff. I'm like, you're the main source of income in your family? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I can't be on that call. I can't go on that trip with you guys to the event. I have to find a babysitter. I'm like, what? What? Well, you know, I have to ask my husband if he'll babysit. No, your husband doesn't need to babysit. Your husband can watch his children. Your husband can make their sandwiches. Your husband can clean. Cleaning is not a gender assigned task.
Yes.
Making a bed is not a gender assigned task. If you're the rainmaker, make it rain, baby.
Make it rain, baby.
Like, let's go. But go through that. Do it all week. You know, you'll find things where you'll go, why was I doing that?
Yes.
And those are your little time sucks where you're actually more than likely self-sabotaging. And, I want you to pay attention, no matter what business anybody's in that's listening. Like, do you know what your commissions are when you sell a bottle of whatever or a pack of whatever, or you recruit a whatever, or you whatever? Do you know what your actual commissions are? Because I know some people go, oh, I'm not at the stage that you and Rebecca are at where I can hire somebody to clean, or I can hire somebody for my meals, or I can hire somebody to do the yard. Okay. What does it cost to mow your yard? $20? $50? $100? I don't know how big your yards are, right? Okay, let's call it $100. That must be a pretty big yard. That must be like a 4-hour yard or something. Like, we're talking acres probably, but that's okay. So we'll use that as an example. So that's probably like 4 hours, right? For a $100 yard. How is your time better spent? How many bottles of whatever, packs of whatever, trials of whatever do you need to sell as a brand new person in business to make that make sense? Because I will guarantee you what most people do is their business is a plan B. You know, yeah. They've got a plan A, they've got a plan B, they've got a plan C, they've got all these plans. They're mowing the lawn, doing the dishes, doing all this other stuff to distract from keeping the main thing, and it's actually sabotaging their businesses. They don't need to do those things, but they're putting all this filler work in. And then when you touch base with them, you say, why haven't you hit your core rank yet this month? Why haven't you hit that bonus enough? Why haven't you, oh, well, I was so busy. You know, I had to do the laundry. No, you didn't. Like, there, you've seen some people in the back. I saw her walk past a minute ago.
I've seen a lot in the background. I've seen toddlers. I've seen two dogs. I've seen her roommate. I've seen a lot happening.
But like a lot. Like, you watch my cleaning girl, Gloria. That's my homegirl, man. Gloria, no, Jessica, you don't cook. She don't clean. She don't do none of that. Gloria comes up in here multiple times a week. She handles my life.
That's right.
My time is not well spent doing that. My dogs have a dog walker. Why? Yeah. Why would I walk? I mean, like, I'll walk them when I'm stressed, right? But they need to be walked every single day. It is not a good use of my time to spend an hour when it's $15 for the dogs to be walked.
Right.
Right? Like, how much can I sell in an hour?
Yeah.
That's more of you need to be thinking about.
Guilt. I would hire, I'm like you, I'm a dog mom. I'm so obsessed with my dogs that if I don't walk them, I get dog guilt. But yeah.
Yeah, but like, I would too. Which is why I was like, okay, Paul, I need to hire you every day. Paul comes 7 days a week, rain or shine.
To walk the dogs.
Yeah, because it's $15, and how much can I sell in a dedicated hour?
I love it.
I don't need to be a $1 million earner to be able to afford that. You could be doing, you could hire a dog walker, a clean, or whatever. Yeah, so for the next week, everyone listening, track it.
Yes, that's a great assignment. That is a great assignment. Track your time. So I know we're running out of the time, and I still have 3 more questions.
All good. It's a fun conversation.
We're rocking. So why is patience one of your superpowers? How did you get to be so darn patient?
I love it. Thanks for asking that. First of all, it was one of my biggest weaknesses. So anybody who's like, how does she stay so calm under pressure? It is an acquired skill set. Okay. So if you're like, I'm the hothead, I'm the whatever, girl, I used to pop off on people so fast. I was so quick tongued. I mean, not good. Not good. And I started to realize that by not taking the time to slow down and see things from other people's perspectives, it was really affecting a lot of things negatively. And so I appreciate that people notice I'm patient now, because it was definitely one of my biggest weaknesses. I was shoving good people away. People were scared to talk to me. They were like, she's so aggressive. And now people are like, she's soft. You're going to make her cry. Like, you better be nice to Jessie Lee. Cause she, you know, it's funny. You mentioned, we talked about Sarah at the beginning of this call.
Yeah, we love Sarah Zalecki.
Yeah, like, I said something about her, or I just saw her like a week ago. Right. And we had a conversation together where I'm like, I don't even know if I ever thought this I would ever talk to you like this. You know, like, we have both, like, just the personal growth, you know, like, I'm a different person, and everybody should become a different version of themselves. And patience was just something where I really saw it reflected in my team worse than anything. Because if people are too nervous to have a conversation conversation with you that's a courageous conversation because they're sure that you're just going to yell at them, or they're so sure that you're just going to never listen to their side of the story. It's not healthy. I mean, we had a situation literally last night where somebody is just acting. I mean, they're acting quite psychotic, if we're being totally honest. They're not a leader or anything, but they're acting a little bit, you know, out there. And I just said, hey, just give me her phone number. And the leader above this person was like, what? I said, just give me her phone number. She's like, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to call her. She's like, what do you mean you're going to call her? I was like, I'm going to call her. I want to see like what's going on. She's like, well, what are you going to say? I'm like, just going to ask what's going on. Talk to me. But 4 years ago, 3 years ago, if I had that phone number, man, I don't even know if I would have used it. I probably would have just sent a passive aggressive, really long aggressive, all half in caps, half in whatever, exclamations here. Text message, screenshot it, sent it to 75 different people. Look at this. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I think it's personal growth, but I think that emotional intelligence is the number one trait of a leader. If you guys are taking notes, write that down.
Yes.
Emotional intelligence is the number one trait of a good leader. You know, something that a leader on our team said to me probably 3 years ago, she said, Jessie Lee, I love it. You are like the eye of the storm. I said, what do you mean? She's like, we never really know. Like, are you mad? Are you happy? Like, are you really excited? Cause you're really even keeled like all the time. I'm like, there is no reason to be super high highs, super low lows. You freak people out. But it took a lot of learning. It was a process. All right, for me to get here.
How did you calm the F down? Did you meditate? Did you do yoga? Was it 2017 when you got your butt whooped? What happened?
I mean, 2017 knocked me over. 2017 knocked me over. I had to become a completely different person.
Wow.
Completely different person. And I mean, I'm still like, just my softness in general. I was super aggressive all the time for no reason. Like I had these protective walls up because I was hurt a lot in my childhood. And so I thought that everybody had ill intentions and all these people that are being nice to me don't really want to be nice to me. So like, why would I let them in, kind of a thing. And everything was aggression. And then 2017, it was like, what are you going to, you're going to shove everyone away? You're just going to be alone forever. Okay. Good idea. Good plan, Jessie Lee. See how well that works out for you. So, no, it was definitely 2017 for sure. I just saw so many big gaping holes in my leadership. And I knew that if I wanted to become the leader that I aspired to become and still do aspire to become, I had to continue to elevate and become a different version of myself. I had to change as a person. Like I feel bad for people who, I mean, I don't blame them, but I feel bad for people who judge me from, you know, 2015, 2016, even 2017 and further even in the past, just even 18, 19, 20, quite frankly, because I'm constantly elevating, right? There's a different iteration of me. If I haven't seen you in 6 months, we have to meet again. Just a different person.
Absolutely. And that's why I love your podcast, The People's Mentor, because you're constantly elevating and raising the bar on yourself and the people who listen every day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So you said in one of the bios I read about you, you read one line in the book, Secrets of Six-Figure Women, which is so funny because
this is such a well-researched interview. I like you a lot. This is great. Okay, keep
going. I went to Princeton. I'm not messing around.
Woo!
I actually wrote a book called How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time, which you can get on Amazon or Audible. So I like the name of this book because it's very similar. It was called The Secrets of Six-Figure Women. And you said one line in that book changed your whole life. So I got to ask you, what was that one line?
You know, what's funny is I don't even think I read the whole book. It's still my most recommended book, I think, of all time. And I think I put the book down after that. You know, sometimes when you hear what you need, just put the book down, man. But basically, the whole premise around it was that most people, it's not even just women. Like you don't need to be a woman to read this book. Okay. But most people hold on to what they have. It's not great. It's not the best they can do, but they hold on to it because they're so scared that they're going to lose it. And if they would just let go, they might just fly. And so I was sitting in a situation where I was making about $200,000 a year. Thank you. I was, you know, 24, 25 years old. And I was sitting there And I read that line where it's like, just let go. You're going to catch yourself is pretty much what it says. You're going to catch yourself at least. And then what if you fly? And let me tell you what, I let go. And a week later, I'm in network marketing. And 8 months later, I've made $1 million. And, you know, and then obviously I've gone much, much further than that now. That was 2015 that I read that. And so 6 years. But like, what is it? I would ask everyone listening, like, ask yourself, what is it you're holding on to? Like, what is that thing that you know is limiting you and is holding you back? Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a thing. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a company. Maybe whatever. What is it? And what if you just let go and you trust that God, the universe, whatever it is you choose to believe in, has you, and that all of the work you've been putting in to develop into the person that you have become or are going to become will allow you to fly? And I soared, and I've taken a lot of people with me, which is the best part of all of it.
So what were you holding on to that you had to let go of to make all this success afterwards?
Yeah, I was holding on so dearly to that $200,000. It was like $175,000. So it was like $175,000 a year. And people kept telling me like, no, like you've made it, you know, like this is
a company.
Yeah, like you've come so far. Most people never make $200,000 a year. You know, you became a six-figure earner when you were 23. Like all, you know, telling me all this stuff, right? And so I had all these voices, and then I had to realize they're telling you that because there's a direct interest of theirs financially if you stay here.
Of course.
This is not advice that is in your best interest, Jesse Lee. This is in their best interest. And my final straw, because I think sometimes it just takes your epiphany moment. And I had two epiphany moments back to back, same day. And it just, then it was it. It was done. There was no way I could stay in that party planning direct sales company, you know, building businesses, you know, door to door, basically, you know, in living rooms around the country. But one conversation just, it made my, like, what? I'm standing out on the sidewalk in Chicago. I still remember her name. Her name was Cheryl. And she said, this is right after I read the book, by the way, right after, like an hour after reading that passage. You know how sometimes they say you can't say the wrong thing to the right person or whatever?
Yes.
Like I had that 1 hour that I was recruitable, and it was like God sent everything. He's like, I'm giving it, like, you're going to get the message today, sister. So I'm sitting there, and I get off this bus on a sidewalk in Chicago, and she says, Jesse Lee, you know, we have reason to think that you're looking at joining a network marketing company. And I just want to tell you, it's a terrible idea. I'm like, oh, really? And she said, look, you are so talented. You know, you will make $1 million a year, but you could lose it all. Those companies get shut down. And I went, you literally just told me that I'm going to make $1 million a year, which it will take me 5 years to do here. Okay. You're telling me I'll make $1 million a year, but I might lose it all. Like to me, my mind went to like telling a Division I athlete who wins the Heisman Trophy, well, it's looking like you're going to go to the NFL. Okay.
Right.
What if you know, twist your ankle in the off season, okay? Like maybe right. You should go be an accountant is pretty much what this lady's telling me. And that was like this huge light bulb of like, that's your sign. Let go. She's telling you, go do it. And then but 5 minutes after that, I walk into this hotel lobby again in Chicago, and I have this text message from somebody. We're still friends. We texted yesterday. This is all true story. I swear to you. Like, won't God do it? I swear. Sorry if you don't believe in God, but you should. So anyway, like he texts me and he said, I used to post my monthly sales on my Facebook, right? Like I would make the post. I'd post my monthly sales. And he said, I know you're not going to join me in my network marketing company, but I have to tell you, will you please take your sales and put them in any network marketing compensation plan? You're getting robbed by that direct sales company.
Wow.
And I was like, who's this fool? Like, I didn't know him at the time. I'm like, ugh, go away, creeper. Why are you cold messaging me to, ugh? But like, I did. And he was right. Wow. I would have been making $1 million a year already.
You got two signs in one day. And the woman who said, Cheryl, did you even know her?
I think she was like the president of the direct sales company.
and she just pulled you aside and said, don't do network marketing? Like, how did she even know you were thinking about it? That is so crazy.
You know, it all goes back to that book. It was the crappiest incentive trip. I pulled the book out at a dinner where they were finally feeding us for the first time in 3 days. Wow. And I was like boycotting food. This is before I knew about the benefits of fasting. So I was like boycotting food because I'm like, this is supposed to be a paid incentive trip. I'm not eating until they feed me, which was not good because then I was hangry, you know. And I figured, all right, I'm like a top leader in this company. I should like read instead of fighting with people at this dinner. So I pulled the book out and I was reading the book.
at a company dinner.
And the CEO said, I need to talk to you later. I'm reading that passage I just keep referencing. And then before he could talk to me, she stopped me on the sidewalk 2 hours later.
Oh my God, that's amazing. So this is the last question. You've been so generous with your time. Why is being messy and breaking things part of entrepreneurship?
Oh, because messy action is the only way to move forward. You know, it just, all you really need to know is that your why matters, your how doesn't. So why do you want to make that impact? Why do you want to save those families? Why do you want to help more moms? Why do you want to dig wells in Africa? Why do you want to, you know, adopt children? Why do you want to set the world on fire or whatever it is for you, right? Why do you want to be on the biggest stages? Why do you want to be on the cover of Forbes? Why do you want to have private jets? Why do you want to have a Bugatti? Whatever it is, right? Why do you want any of this stuff, right? Why do you want to save your church because COVID destroyed churches around the world? Like whatever it is for you, why do you want to contribute like that? Your how is totally irrelevant. Because if you look at every single goal I've ever set, which I've set a lot, I'm a very goal-centric person. Like I like goals. Big, scary, crazy goals make no sense. Everything that I say, it never happens the way I think it's going to. And this is not just in business too, though. This is in romantic stuff. This is in all, whatever. It literally doesn't matter. I wrote on my Facebook wall the first time I ever said I was going to be a millionaire was 12 years ago, maybe 13 years ago. And I put it just as a Facebook status. This is when I'm making like, oh my God, what was I doing 13 years ago? Waiting tables. You know what I mean? Like not like a thing. You don't make money like that, right? But I wrote it on my, I think I had seen it like a, you know, a text meme or something on the internet. And I was all pumped about it. I'm like, yes, I'm going to be a millionaire. And I put it on my Facebook as a status update. Like it said, you know how it used to be like, Jesse Lee is, you remember like, you know, it'd be like Rebecca Whitman is, right? So it was like, Jesse Lee is going to be the first millionaire in her family was what I said. And if you look at the I didn't even know the company where I made my first million existed when I wrote that status. The company I'm with now literally did not exist when I wrote that status. Right? I was a kid, essentially, you know, writing Facebook statuses, waiting tables in college, and I wrote that. But I knew that I wanted that. I was very clear on what I wanted. You need to get really clear on what you want. I just told our team this. We had a training call 3 hours ago now. Yeah. Oh, a lot of training calls, you know, but we had one 3 hours ago where I told them, like, you need to do the Bob Proctor goal sheet. Like, you need to write your goals down as if they've happened, sign them with a date, and look at them 100 times a day.
Is that what you do?
It's amazing what will happen and will turn into your reality. How you do it, who knows? Will it happen, though? Oh, yeah. Because it happens here in your mind well before it ever happens in reality. Things exist 2 times. People need to understand this. They exist in your mind, and then they become reality.
Yes.
Like, my relationship... It was like when I finally saw him after years, I told like my best friends this too, like the things that were coming out of his mouth toward me, like the sentences he would say it. And I'd be like, what? Because I had heard it in my head so many times. There's no way he would have known this. Like, you're thinking to yourself, there's no way he would have known. I know it's crazy, but this stuff is real. It works. You can call it the power of prayer, power of manifestation, law of attraction. I don't really care what you call it. But if you are thinking constantly, my life is a struggle. If you're thinking constantly, it is hard to make money. If you're thinking all the time, everyone in my family is broke, I am going to be broke too. If you think I'm always going to drive cars that are broken down. I'm never going to have a new car. If you keep saying and thinking and seeing those things, you are having self-perpetuated reality.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, you're right. The world is against you, comes out of your mouth. Yep. You say the world, it's easy to make money. Done. You say customer acquisition is easy. I get 20 customers a day. I don't even really have to try. They come to me. They find me. Customers find me everywhere. Huh? When I couldn't recruit, just take it back to network marketing for a second here, because we're not just talking network marketing, but when I had no recruits, somebody told me I needed to start saying I was a recruiter. I'm like, that's stupid. That's called lying. My mom said that's lying. She's like, no, you need to start doing affirmations. I'm like, this is some hocus pocus, bibbidi bobbidi boop crap. Like, what are you talking about? Like, we're witches now? We're witches.
Stregapazza.
All the time. I'm like, we're just crazy witches. Great. Okay. All right, great. And so I started this affirmation where I said all day, like multiple times a day, I'd say, I'm the best and the best and the best and the best. I'm better than all the rest. Everybody's going to join my team. 1, 2, 3. Yes. And I would just kind of march around the house saying it during the empty spots of my day. And next thing you know, I became top recruiter in my company in my first year. I have a trophy somewhere around here. Wow. First year, 2011, I became top recruiter. I went from no idea how to do it, never done anything like this before, didn't know how to talk to people, was awkward, was whatever. I started saying, oh, I'm going to be speaking on the biggest stages in the world. I just spoke in front of 170,000 people a week ago. That is one of the biggest stages in the entire world. There's one bigger stage, and that was Tony Robbins' stage. So I've taught on the second biggest stage in the entire world. But I've been saying it for years.
That's right.
So if you want it, go get it.
That's a perfect note to end on. It's intention, not mechanics. It's not how, it's why. So Jesse Lee, you have been so generous with your time. I literally could talk to you all day. We could do like an 8-hour interview, but I know that your time is very valuable. So tell my listeners, how can they find more of Jesse Lee? We mentioned your podcast. How can they find you on social?
Yeah, so on all social, I am Jesse Lee Ward. So you can just type that in anywhere. You could Google it if you're, you know, I don't know, if you're a Googler or whatever. But Instagram's I'm Bossley, I'm Bossley. So is TikTok. We got Facebook, we got Instagram, we got TikTok, YouTube, Jesse Lee Ward. My podcast is the People's Mentor podcast. And it is me in my DMs. So if you DM me, I will DM you back.
She really will. That's how we got her on the show. So amazing. Thank you so much for being on the Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant Show. If you are listening, please on Facebook, tag a friend, share it on their wall. If you're listening to the podcast, take a screenshot, tag me or Jesse Lee on Facebook, and we'll reshare it in our stories. Spread the word of this show. We don't have advertisers. It's all about grassroots, word of mouth, people who care about each other and want each other to be the best version of themselves. So share the love, share the show. Thank you so much, Jesse Lee Ward. You were an amazing guest, so inspiring. I'm going to come back and listen to this interview over and over and over again. There's so many nuggets. I so appreciate your time, and I can't wait to see you on your next stage. You were incredible the other weekend in the Women in Network Marketing in your color, whatever color that was. I don't know.
What neon yellow. Yeah.
Neon yellow. You were popping, girl. So
appreciate it.
I can't wait to see you again. Thanks again for being on the Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant Show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you, Rekha.
Bye. Have a
great one. Bye.
Who says you can't have it all? I'm proof that you can. You just have to put your life into balance. Too much of anything, money, fitness, socializing, can overtake your life. When all 7 aspects of your life work in harmony, you will achieve the balanced, beautiful, and abundant life you've always dreamed of. Please subscribe to hear more inspiring interviews. Is there someone you know who could benefit from this podcast? Please share this podcast with them. Please review this podcast. Your feedback will help me target your needs and plan for upcoming shows that answer your questions and feature guest speakers that can make a big difference in your life. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman. Feel free to DM me to book a free balance assessment call. And don't forget, stay stay balanced, beautiful, and abundant.